What's up? Welcome into Stacking Dubs, free agency version. I have been waiting to break some news and analyze any of these new players that the Warriors were getting. However, no one has been gotten, just a whole bunch of speculation. And I guess we'll call it the Warriors keeping their options open at best. Obviously, they're waiting on the Kuminga deal or sign and trade or just exploring every avenue of what Kuminga could fetch you back in a sign and trade, which I support. I've said it before when, you know, maybe a couple months ago, Monty Poole seemed to say that signs point to Kuminga returning. And I thought you need to exhaust every option and look at every possible avenue to bring someone in that can help you now before ultimately deciding that, hey, okay, the best option is to bring back Kuminga. It's starting to look like that is going to be what happens, and the Warriors re-signed Kuminga as of July 3rd in the morning here. We're going to get into more of the Kuminga rumors, particularly to some of the teams that have been interested. We'll talk about who I would still trade Kuminga for at this point and who I would not. I did another segment last time about what it would look like if we kept Kuminga, and in a best case scenario, kind of what a breakout would look like for him. Spoiler alert, he's playing better off ball defense, he's shooting better, and he's learning to play out of the pick and roll as a screener, not necessarily on ball. Those are all ways that maybe it works out with Kuminga. Again, to recap, the downside of re-signing Kuminga, especially to a decent sized contract, is he underperforms, and now you essentially have a negative contract. And as much as you would like to trade him at mid-season for a full year of compensation and outgoing salary, if he's just not a good contract and he's underperforming, your hands are pretty much tied, and this is the route that you are stuck with. But I'm okay with that at this point, unless we are able to obtain some of the players I'm going to talk about shortly. Also, we're going to talk about the free agents that are still out there, particularly Al Horford, and kind of the bigs that are still available should that fall through. And we're also going to talk about a couple shooters, particularly kind of backup guards that the Warriors could pursue. So let's get back to Kuminga. So right now, at this moment, the hottest news in terms of interest coming out is the Kings, the potentially still the Heat. Neither team really interests me in terms of the pieces here. The other maybe teams that might still be interested, but it seems to be cooling, would be the Bulls and the Pelicans. Okay, so let's go through this, and I'm going to tell you kind of my thoughts on what is even possible here, starting with the Kings. The rumor out there right now from, I think it's from NBC Sports Bay Area, is that they're looking at a Devin Carter, who was the number 13 overall pick last year, a 6'2 point guard, didn't shoot well. I think he got hurt last year. Basically just had not a very relevant rookie season. Some people are speculative that he might have some upside. Doesn't make any sense for the Warriors to go take on a young, small point guard who can't shoot. Those are literally the opposite of what we want in terms of size, spacing, and someone that can help us in the immediate future. But don't worry, the other part of this trade is Dario Saric coming back. That's sarcasm there, guys. We've tried that. Saric played himself out of the rotation because he couldn't do anything on defense, and it's just a worse version in all ways than Quinton Post, and there's just no need for him, and maybe some second round picks coming back, which again does nothing for the Warriors. I mean, if I guess the only way this happens, and it would be a three-way trade where Monk's going to Detroit and Kuminga is going out, the only way this makes any sense is if the Warriors are basically back against the wall, last case scenario, Kuminga says, I'm gonna play on the qualifying offer and then become an unrestricted free agent, and this is all the Warriors can do just to scrape peanuts. I still think just let Kuminga play on that expiring, on the qualifying deal, get him for a year and just make a run with that. I still wouldn't even do this Kings deal. Other Kings options, there's a lot of speculation for Malik Monk. I'm kind of on the fence with it. If maybe there were some sweeteners, like you're throwing in like Keon Ellis, or you're throwing in, I don't really need picks, but I guess if you're going to throw in like a first round pick just to get rid of Monk from Sacramento, you can consider it. The problem being that Monk makes $18 million. Kuminga's probably going to come in at about, call it 25. So half of that is, call it 20, 12 and a half, makes you able to take on like $14 million coming back. You have to attach probably TJD, or just you have to attach another piece there just to make the salaries work. So I'm not too enticed by that. But again, back against the wall, I guess Monk at least gives you playmaking and a little bit better shooting than Kuminga. But gun to my head, I still don't pull the deal there. At least Kuminga gives you the upside and the option to make a move and flexibility later in the season. So I would not do that. Keegan Murray is the other option here. So, I mean, hypothetically, just a Keegan Murray for Kuminga swap. I could be convinced to do that. I think I would do it. But then I look at Keegan Murray's last couple of seasons, and after shooting 41% from three his rookie season, he then declined, and I think he shot like 36.5% his sophomore season. And then last year, he shot like 34% from three. And if that's the case, then what are we even doing here? If he's not going to shoot it better than Kuminga, and he does provide the spacing. So I know percentages can be deceiving in terms of the spacing it provides. He is a good movement shooter. He is a pretty good defender, give you some length, probably a better overall defender than Kuminga. Overall, I still think Kuminga has a better opportunity to be a better point of attack on ball defender, as you saw him defend Anthony Edwards in the playoffs. And that's part of Kuminga's evolution. I guess I'm kind of neutral on that. I think obviously Keegan Murray fits better. Kuminga's upside is higher. And, I guess just being that I like Kuminga, I would probably still stand pat, but if they did a Keegan Murray deal for Kuminga, I could get on board with that. So that's the Kings. The Heat, nothing really interests me. They're not giving up Khalil Ware. They're not, I mean, the other options are like Jaime Jaquez, which I don't think is a fit because he doesn't space the floor and he's kind of an isolation type player, sees the floor well, and I'm a UCLA guy, but I don't think Jaquez really helps us right now. The pieces aren't really there. The only thing I would consider is for a Wiggins deal where you're sending Kuminga and probably Moody for Wiggins and whatever else needs to make that work. I would be on board with that. I do think Wiggins is the perfect fit here with the Warriors for reasons I've talked about before. It doesn't seem like that's an option that they're even exploring from either side right now. And we also learned that the haul that the Heat are asking for from the Lakers for Wiggins would be Connect, who was essentially a lottery pick last year. Rui Hachimura, who is also, a good 3-and-D player, and then a first round pick as well. So I think that would be a little bit steeper than what the Warriors are willing to give up as well. So I don't see it working with the Heat. Bulls, the deal I would do is a Coby White for Kuminga swap. It just fits better. He also has upside, 20-point score. Green light from three gives you playmaking. Kuminga's ceiling still probably higher just overall as an athlete, but I think Coby White fits this team at least in that sixth man role and maybe even as a closing shooting guard, depending on Pojemski. Coby White gives you a little bit more there. I would do that trade, particularly if we're able to get even more in that trade back. I think value for value, I would probably say Kuminga's a little bit more valuable, especially because Coby White's going to need a new contract going forward. But I think to do this, I would still pull the trigger there. And if the Bulls want to throw in whatever, a pick or something like that, I think the Warriors should instantly accept that. Lastly, the best options lie with the Pelicans. So I think if for some reason it sounds like the Pelicans really do like Kuminga, the money is very complicated here. You would have to probably attach a Moses Moody to a Kuminga deal and outgoing salary to acquire either Herb Jones or Trey Murphy. That would be the biggest move I think I could see the Warriors making that I think we'd all be happy with. Herb Jones, all NBA defensive player, like 2 years ago, shot 41% that year as well. Might be the best non-big defender in the NBA. Was hurt a bit last year and also regressed big time with his shooting out from the outside. I think he's like 32, 33%, which is more in line with his career shooting. So you might run into that same issue of, hey, you're just getting a Kuminga in terms of no spacing, but he lacks as much scoring as Kuminga does, but he just helps you on ball defensively. Almost as a wash, but Herb Jones is better than Kuminga. Let's not get it twisted. I would be on board for that. Depending on what version of Herb Jones you're getting, Trey Murphy, I'm on board with that. Gives you a great offensive player, creates 20-point score, can shoot, can play make. Defense isn't quite there, but probably comparable to Kuminga, where he's average to above average on ball, solid off ball. gives you just some young youth athleticism and someone that could just take the load. So through the course of a longer season, the usage rate just is a little bit less on Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. So I would absolutely do a Trey Murphy deal if you have to attach Kuminga, Moody, and probably two first round picks. I would do it. I would do it for Murphy. I would do it for Herb Jones. Three first round picks. I'm thinking about it. I can already tell you the Warriors wouldn't do it because the Warriors are interested in the future, which, from an organizational standpoint, sure, I can understand it. From a fan standpoint, and from somebody that wants to give it all for Steph Curry's legacy and just to chase these next 2 years, because that's all that really matters. After Steph leaves, you're just rebuilding anyways, and you're not going to be competitive with the Spurs, the Thunder, the Rockets coming going forward. So I've always said it. I've said it 100 times. Use the picks, make a run now. So that being said, yeah, I would do three first round picks plus Kuminga plus Moody to get either one of those guys from the Pelicans. We'll see what happens. Obviously, I think what we're going to end up seeing is Kuminga's market is not that. Those deals aren't available. And because of that, the Warriors are going to have to re-sign him. Hopefully for somewhere between $20 and $24 million, he outplays that contract or at least retains value, and then you can revisit the market in a few months from now. I believe December would be the soonest, and you see what you got. Moving on, because we are tired of hearing about Kuminga unless a deal is imminent. Al Horford, same kind of thing. The last 3 days, all I've heard is Al Horford. The Warriors seems like a fit. Warriors are pushing for Horford. At this point, I think the Warriors' chips are just all in on that being our big options for Al Horford. Were the Warriors, the Lakers, who have now signed Ayton? Apparently, they haven't thrown in the towel on Horford, which scares me a little bit. Or Horford retiring would be the other option. I tend to believe, this is just my gut instinct, that the Warriors and Horford more or less have a handshake deal. He's not 100, maybe call him 90% sure, call the Warriors 100% sure they want him, but they are waiting because they want to use their mid-level exception on him. And I believe that if they do that, it kind of limits some of their options in terms of a Kuminga sign and trade, in terms of kind of flirting with those aprons. So I think they want to say, hang on, we think we're good with Horford. If you need a little time, sure. We want to figure out our Kuminga situation first, and let's hope that this handshake deal is good, and Horford is exactly what the Warriors need. Could be a little bit bigger, but for the price, hopefully, Horford gives you a big who can space the floor. Didn't shoot as well last year, but he's more or less a 36, 37%. Pretty high volume for a big shooter from the outside. Can obviously space it, as you see with the Celtics. Great defender for his age, a fantastic defender, but even for anybody, he gives you size and can move his feet enough on the perimeter to stay in front of guys, particularly in that drop coverage, which the Warriors don't play a ton of. But I think Horford would be fine just playing up in that pick and roll. Gives you some shot blocking pretty consistently throughout his career, averaging about a block per game. And he's going to give you about 9 to 10 points in terms of he's probably going to make, go 2 for 5 to 2 for 6 from three every game. He'll give you some kind of, a transition bucket randomly or just kind of in a roll or a little put back. And he's going to kind of find his way to the line once or twice a game. So, you're going to get efficiency. You're getting a good rebounder at his size. You're getting someone, again, that can guard. He's guarded Giannis. He can give you a little bit more size to take some of that off Draymond. He's 6'9", but at least he's 240 and kind of gives you much more size than we've had in the past, at least. He's basically like Looney in terms of that, but does a lot more on the offensive side of the ball, including on defense, some vertical rim protection. Most importantly, Al Horford is a good passer, and Steve Kerr and the Warriors love that. Keeps the ball moving. You can put him in a pick and pop action with Steph. You can let him roll and make good decisions out of the roll. He will keep the ball moving. He's a good off ball player, and again, just really smart, savvy, and just essentially fits everything that the Warriors are trying to accomplish, especially as a big. And most importantly, he's been available. He has, for the last 4 years, so what, he was 35, 36, 37, 38, something like that, played at least 60 games in each of those seasons, most of them closer to 70 games, and he averaged 27 to 29 minutes per game all those seasons, including last year. He was almost at 28 minutes per game, again with Boston, so playing big minutes, playing competitive games, high profile games. and he's held up pretty well. So if you can get that kind of availability where it unlocks a lot of lineups, particularly if Kuminga comes back, now you can pair him with Al Horford and get a little bit of that spacing so he can operate. So let's just hope that that happens, because if you do not get Al Horford, it would be a crushing blow to the Warriors. It's been pretty clear the backup plan is Chris Boucher, who he's also 6'9", but he's like 200 pounds. He's not really a center. You can just call him a big, and you can call him another power forward for the Warriors. He'd be a small ball center, so it helps a little bit. But he's like a 33, 34% shooter from three. He tries to space the floor, but that's pretty mid for a quote unquote stretch big. He's an okay rebounder. He just doesn't really play a lot of minutes. He's been playing like 15, 17-ish minutes, and his per minute numbers and per 36 numbers are pretty good. But in reality, he's not giving you any assists, no playmaking. He's really just kind of a catch and shoot 3-point shooter on okay volume and bad efficiency, mild efficiency from the outside. He can block shots. That's the appeal here, is he can kind of give you some rim protection. But he's not like Horford, where he's going to be able to, stand up strong against guys like Giannis, Jokic, just because he's so slight at 200 pounds. Draymond's going to be stronger and probably take on those assignments for the majority of the game. So I don't know how much you're accomplishing. I guess at the very least, you're getting, again, some stretch out of that big and some rim protection, but it is a huge step down. Other than Boucher, just the other names out there, for the most part, like you're Thomas Bryant, I don't know if he's still available. Like a Bagley, Mo Wagner, who's probably returning to the Magic. Jackson Hayes, no thanks. Biyombo, Alex Len, Kai Jones. I mean, those guys, I no thanks. I don't know if maybe one of them gives you just a little bit of either size or just some offense somewhere at the worst case scenario. But it's looking like the Warriors are going to come in when their center of signing is going to be no bigger than 6'9", whether it's Horford, Boucher, or someone else, and you're running into a lot of the size problems. But again, if you can manage to get Horford, you're okay there. Let's see. Let's go to shooters, right? So the other issue here, well, the non-issue is Damian Lillard is available, and he's available for potentially a cheap contract. He's getting stretched and paid by the Bucks already over the next 5 years. So he's welcome to sign with whoever he wants for whatever amount of money that he just decides he wants to add on to in addition to his pay. Obviously, he's from Oakland, grew up a Warriors fan, gets along well with Jimmy, Steph, Dre. He was willing to go to Miami to play with Jimmy a few years ago. He has always gotten along well with Dre and Steph. So it seems that the planets would align here for Lillard to do a homecoming and come back. Potentially could return if the Achilles heals as early as March, maybe in time just to be like a sixth man off the bench in the playoffs next year if all goes well. Or it's just a 2-year project and you're hoping going forward that you can just sign him to 2 years and he helps you in what might be the final dance for the Warriors with our window. Either way, if you can get lowered at less than 10 million a year, absolutely sign me up. Need the shooting, need the scoring, just for all the reasons that Damian Lillard is a stud. I don't need to say much more about it. Go get Lillard. I guess the next most important, other than making sure you get Horford, you got to get D'Anthony Melton. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to re-sign Melton. The contract should be fairly affordable, I would think. Loved being with the Warriors, fit with the Warriors. ACL, he's going to be 12 months removed for the most part. I mean, these days, that should mean you're 95% at what you would be. And hey, he can shoot, he can handle, he can play elite perimeter defense. We already know the Warriors are desperate for another POA defender. Go get Melton back, make that happen. Sounds like the Lakers are also in on Melton. So let's not let that happen. Let's make sure that we lock up both Horford and Melton. And then I would call it a successful offseason. If you can get at least those two back, and whatever you end up doing with Kuminga, if you retain Kuminga, that's a fine, that you're better than last year, I think, to start the season, and you still have options. If you trade Kuminga, make sure you get one of those guys I have pre-approved from earlier. Other backup shooting guards or guards, essentially, Quentin Grimes is going to be out of our price range, but he would be great. Dante Exum just re-signed with the Mavericks would have been okay. You've got like your, I see a list here. I don't, so I could be wrong on some of these guys that are even still available or not, but like there's like a Doug McDermott, an Alec Burks, a Torrey Craig, Seth Curry, maybe a little small, but gives you at least a shooter at the very least. Landry Shamet, Lonnie Walker, reunion with another family member, Damian Lee. It's kind of slim pickings, but you just need somebody that, hey, if they're kind of hot that game, and if Buddy Hield's missing games or something like that, you just need someone else that can be a movement shooter and provide you a little bit of spacing so you have different lineups you can play. I don't love the options, but there's a chance that we end up with, you know, one of these kind of disgusting names that I mentioned just to fill out the roster, because if you miss on Horford or Melton, then this is kind of the bottom of the barrel bigs and wing shooters that you're looking at. Also, oh, there is one other two more names that I wouldn't be terribly upset with, kind of more your forwards would be like an Amir Coffey. Potentially, I don't know how much he's going to go for, but you kind of get a little bit of shooting there. It's not the best, but you get a little length as a wing shooter, just, you know, kind of as Moses Moody insurance there. I know you have a lot of power forwards, but like Trey Lyles on a minimum contract didn't shoot great last year. I think he's like 34%, but traditionally he's more like a mid 36% 3-point shooter as a big. So he gives you a little bit of spacing. He'd be cheap. I think he's like 6'8", 6'9", 6'8"-ish. I mean, he's an okay defender, but again, it's just that's kind of another power forward that can give you a stretch, give you some options in lineups where, hey, if it's not working, playing Kuminga, Butler, Draymond all together, and you just need a spacer there, maybe you can throw like a guy like Lyles in. So again, slim pickings, but this is what happens when you're kind of tied up waiting on your big domino to figure out what's happening, and you've missed out on a whole bunch of stuff early in free agency. I'm like you guys, I'm a little frustrated, but remember, let's not let our emotions take advantage of what might be best for the Warriors. You know, we kind of went through this last year, and it's like, are they ever going to make a move? Are we going to get Paul George? Good thing we didn't. Are we going to get Lauri Markkanen? Good thing we didn't. Are we going to re-sign Klay? No comment. Ultimately, you end up waiting and you get Jimmy Butler for very cheap. And on that note, when's the last time we've seen a free agent say, I choose the Warriors, right? That's the decision that Horford, that Melton are having to make right now. And it seems like we've just missed out on so many free agents that just don't choose the Warriors. I guess Buddy Hield, maybe. It's just been frustrating. You would think, and I guess this is where my bias comes in, you would think that a team would want to chase a ring and play with Steph. I mean, why wouldn't you want to play with Steph Curry, or at least just hang out with Steph Curry every day? Great culture, great city, competitive. It just shocks me that, you know, the Warriors aren't able to attract these major free agents. And, you know, for that reason, it's like, you know, you're not able to close the deal with some of these bigger names, even in through trades too. So again, just a little frustrating. And even Jimmy Butler, right? Like before we made the trade with him, we kind of backed into Jimmy Butler. Like he at one point said he didn't want to play for the Warriors. Obviously he does now, but you kind of backed into that, and you know, we lucked out. And the emotions of going from, oh, we're getting Kevin Durant at the trade deadline, to falling back to Jimmy Butler. I didn't love it at first. I guess the emotions got the best of me. And so I'm kind of going through that right now, where you hope for the big fish to fall and a big trade to happen. And when it doesn't happen, you're a little disappointed that we only got Horford, or we only got Melton, or we only got like a Malik Monk or something, or we only got a Kobe White. But sometimes they end up for the best and we don't really know. So my point is, let's just be patient. Let's trust in the Warriors front office, which up until this point, we've been frustrated, but I'd say that Bob Myers, Mike Dunleavy have overall done a pretty good job throughout the course of the last decade. All right, I'll probably be back soon enough if the Warriors make a move. So I guess I probably won't be back soon enough, but I will talk to you guys. Hopefully, you guys have a great 4th of July, and hopefully, we have a relatively encouraging, optimistic move that the Warriors have made soon. Until next time, I've been Chris Chin. Give me a like, subscribe, share, give me some love. And until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.